We're going to be in first chapter of 1 Corinthians again this morning. The last several lessons that I brought and didn't get past a particular verse that we'll look at again. I'd like to read to start with in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. And I'd like to read before a little bit, but starting with verse 27 and down just a bit before we have a word of prayer. It says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath he chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and that you have brought us together. We pray that you would be with those that are traveling, that are away from us, that are in other places, that you'd watch over and be with them. Pray that you would be with us as we open the Word this morning, that you would open our eyes to what the Scripture has to say, and that you would reveal yourself to us. Again, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. And the verses I looked at several other times now, this will be the third different time we've looked at it, is verse 30, 1 Corinthians 1:30, that says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Those four things. And we looked at in a couple other lessons that he is made unto us wisdom and he is made unto us righteousness. And these four things, sanctification we're going to look at this morning and redemption, they're so tied together, they're so close and so part of the same that it's hard to slice one off and say that this is either more important or more critical or more crucial than another part or a better part, but they're all part of the whole. It's like his names where it says what Christ's names were to us with hyphens between them, not commas. He doesn't have different names and is different God or characters, but has many different facets as we see. And the same thing to our salvation and to what Christ has made unto us. And as it says here, these things in particular. And we're going to look at this morning sanctification. These four different things it speaks about here, and he's much more than those items, obviously, to us as our Redeemer and as God Almighty. But these things, and we have to kind of take them in small bites because they're pretty big ideas. People want to see the deeper things of the Scripture. You don't have to go very far to find deeper things, and for our minds, these are hard things to fathom sometimes, or to put down in words and just define what this is talking about, and it means so many different things, so much. But and first of all, the definition of the word, if you just the word, and it's used in several different ways and manners, and we'll see that hopefully somewhat, but. As it's defined, and as the Scripture somewhat defines these, and as a word, it's defined as in four different things here that I found generally. One of them, it means set apart to a sacred purpose. And it means the second one was it means to be free from sin and to purify. And the third thought is to impute or impart sacredness or inviolability or respect. And the fourth one that have to kind of think about it a bit, maybe, to see how it fits with what we're going to say. But the fourth one was heat and glow from the fire. Doesn't seem like it fits exactly those other things, but we'll see that I think it probably does. But to be set apart to sacred purpose, and we're going to see that what God says about that, what the Scripture says, or to be free from sin, to purify. That's a objects, or we're going to look at it particularly as the church, how He has made these things to us, and how we fit into this. In the third one, impute or impart sacredness or inviolability or respect. And He has made to us those different things, and we'll see by looking in the Scriptures what one of these thoughts might come to mind. We have to remember too, and I've read it a couple of times recently, and in both a bulletin thoughts, Norman has mentioned this thought, and in what I read in some of the contemplations and things that Hawker has to say about things in general, not just this particular passage, but that the Scriptures were given and are given by God to His people for the purpose of the gospel being preached and the Spirit applying that to His people and redeeming them. It's the purpose is not to perchance save the world. It's for purpose to indeed to reveal Himself through the Spirit by His word to His people for their redemption. It's not a, well, perhaps they'll be redeemed from it. It's a sure thing. God has a people that we'll see that has been set aside, a people that were determined to be His people, to be determined to be redeemed by the Son, by our Savior, by Christ Himself. And set aside for our redemption in His honor and glory, as it says, that through all of this, that any glory that is there that's talked about or thought about would be to God for His having a people to start with and the different things we'll look at. Those things in verse 30 of Corinthians chapter 1, those four things that He's made to us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, as we'll get into today, and redemption, these are Christ made unto us by God. It's not revealed to us. These are three things, four things, and others that we must have, but we don't have unless God has done things. All things are done by Him for His people. Another thought towards this of sanctification, of setting aside to be to our sacred purpose and sacred end, is another thought that I came up that Hawker did use this phrase and others, distinguishing mercy. Mercy shown to only to His people. Now there's mercy shown to the world at large day by day, in that God doesn't turn us all to cinders, only by His mercy that doesn't take place. Only by His mercy that He has those that are hewers of wood and bearers of water for the church that's in the world. And it's only of His mercy that all these things take place. They're only shown to His sanctified ones. These things are only revealed as that He has made that to us. Other religious people can use words and know words of things, but that's all they know. And as Mike had pointed out, as Norman's used several times, and it's a great analogy of the code talkers that were the Navajos in World War II, that no, the Japanese could not understand, or anybody else could not understand what they were talking about. They could just speak their plain language, and it was plain to each other that we're doing that, but it had to be translated to anybody else. And the same as the scriptures, it is only to His people, and we only understand in part as He reveals that to us. It's not our natural language either, but of the scripture, but He makes that and reveals Himself to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the second verse in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." This, and not just this book of Paul's, but the whole of the scriptures, this covers and says the same thing. All those places are given unto the church that God, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's the only sanctification that God's people have. And it's not a start with a glimmer and end up sanctified and holy without blame and things down the road something because of where we've attained to in salvation. And when He has made that unto us, His people, it's there. The sanctification, the wisdom, the righteousness, and the redemption are completed things. They're not something that are goals to attain. He has attained those things and has become those for us. And sanctification is one of them, is part of them, and set aside in Him and for Him. The church of God is set aside or set to purpose in Christ alone. That's the only reason we have a purpose or a sanctification or set aside as anything special, was that God gave a people to the Son. And He, in the covenant of grace, He was to redeem those, that church, and He did that. In Romans chapter 9, all of Scripture, but Romans is very plain in dealing with some of the things that are talked about here today and in this passage in Corinthians. But in Romans chapter 9, starting with verse 22, for a bit, it says, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As He saith also in Osee, I will call them My people which were not My people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." And this passage here is speaking above that God has a people separate from people as a whole, the whole world. And He says here, the two groups that He's talking about, and from the beginning we saw there was two groups of people, sinners and those determined and predetermined and set aside to be saved sinners. And here it says in verse 22, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. There are those that are just going, and has been said before, just downstream. They're not working to be in that situation. They're just going downstream. And the difference is that God has a people, and that He might, in verse 23, make the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. He has a people that are set out before the foundation of the world, it says, that the Lamb's Book of Life was written, that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world for a people, for a particular people, and for those that were sanctified ones, those that were set apart. And the setting apart and all these different things that we looked at of definition of this are things that are provided to those that are sanctified. It's not a self-gotten position or something that's attained to or something that is started and begun and worked on that we worked on. There are those that have a thought that's called progressive sanctification, that you start with a little of it, and depending on how much bowling, dancing, and drinking you don't do, that you might gain a notch or two. And that has nothing to do with it. That is not reality of what the Scripture says. And either in Christ, we have all these things, or we have none of these things. And like I say, it's not a glory to us that we are sanctified, other than the fact that we thank God that He has a people, and if we are in His, that we are His people, we thank God and glory to God for that, not for anything that we can or have done. And we didn't set ourselves apart. We didn't wake up one day and say, you know, the world's going to heck in a handbasket, and I'm going to be apart from that. We just didn't do that. God is the one that reveals to us both that we are lost, that we what our nature is, and that He is the only one that can get us out of the pit and has gotten us out of the pit. In 1 Thessalonians, and I used to do kind of like Brother Rupert did and keep my notes on the back of something, you know, or whatever. I actually have a spiral book now to put it in. But I almost have to use a thought on part of a page and leave a big gap because there's going to probably come back and be something in there. And some of these I've scrunched in. So in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, a couple of spots, starting with verse 9. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And then down a little bit farther in chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, that says, verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." And you notice it doesn't tell him to take care of business and make sure that you are okay in the end. It says, thanks be unto God that He does this and will do this. And faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. And in the thought of called here and in other places is not that He does call us. The Spirit calls us in time. But some of this was done before the foundation of the world. It wasn't in time that he saw that we were headed, or I was headed down a good path, so what the heck, we might as well take care of him too. No, this was done in time past. And just like it talks about the twins that Paul talks about, said before anybody had done anything, these things were long before determined, that God may be the one that does what He wills with all of His creation. And here, as it said up here in verse 9 and 10, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And up here at 9 where it says, He hath not appointed us to wrath, and you could put in parentheses and it doesn't do any harm to the thought, but, or on the other hand, He has appointed us to salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if He had not appointed us to that and had those that He sanctified and set aside, there would be none. We see in the Psalms and other places, God looked down, as it were, looked down to see if there were any that sought after righteousness and holiness, and He said, not one, not one. So we see that we were appointed to salvation in Christ. We were set aside to that. We were given to Him. We were in that right of a set apart to a sacred purpose. We were set aside to salvation, to the glory of God, and before the foundation of the world. In John 17, and there's a lot in chapter 17, and others in John about what the Lord Himself says about Him and His people and the connection with God the Father, and just there's a lot in these passages that we'll never fully grasp, I'm sure. But in John 17, starting with verse 15, and not to slight the rest of that chapter by any means, but time and for the thought here. Verse 15, John 17 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, speaking of the church, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the church. And he's speaking of the apostles here, but as it goes on and speaks about not for them also to preach or pray, but for them which shall believe through the word that's preached also. And that would be down to us and all of God's people through time before and after sanctified by the truth and sanctified in Him. And then it says, I sanctify myself that they might also be sanctified through the truth. And Christ did not need to be imparted any holiness or righteousness to that, but sanctified Himself as part as being set aside to do this and to redeem His people and be the one that is the Redeemer. And by His being truly the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, carry that part and carry that out for the church. And also in John 17, starting with verse 20, which is just down, and he said, goes on to say, the Lord speaking, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I giveth them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, verse 24, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And this is another one of the passages of several, speaks that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and as they are one, that we be one with Him, and what and by relationship, one with God the Father, obviously. And but here that those that will by His word that the Spirit will reveal Himself to them. It said that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me, and that these things, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, He has made unto us those things. He is made unto us both in position that He did and accomplished and purchased for the church, but He has made in our eyes somewhat. He reveals these things to us, that He is those things to us. He is not made by us those things, but by the Spirit and by the Scripture, it is revealed to us that we have none of those things. We need those things. He is those things to us, and are those things to us, has provided what those things all mean to us that is not accomplished, or there's none of it that is any room for the works of men. None of this is speaking about the works of men. Whether in Corinthians there that talks about He's made into us, or here what John is talking about, there's none of it that has to do with us. It's all given to us and provided to us and to the rest of the church, the rest of the redeemed ones. And that, as it says in verse 19, it says of this passage through here, it said, "For thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth, and indeed through Him." I'd like also before we move on from this particular thought, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1, just a minute here. And again, the book of Ephesians doesn't start with chapter 2, as a lot of folks may think, but it starts well before that, and with some very, very good things that we need to grasp, and as He teaches us those things. But book of Ephesians, chapter 1, first few verses, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." You could just about take that text and stuff that over there, pencil that in under that verse we're looking at in Corinthians, and that would... It says it right here. Now, word is easy to understand as it says, but that says here in those verses that the church was sanctified before the foundation of the world, was set apart before then. And even using the P word there, predestinated, means before determined. It seems in Baptist circles that you can't use that word some. And it's a wonderful word because it tells that these things were done beforehand. And it further reinforces the thought that Christ has made these things to us beforehand, not that they hinted to him, and then in time we work and get this stuff accomplished. This was, it was either done and is done in him, or it's not done. And this introduction, people take those things in chapter 2, verse 8 or 9, through that area there, by grace are you saved? And we are. We are saved by grace. But back up a little bit, and these are very important words here in the first part of Ephesians, and they're foundation words to what we believe. And if the what Paul was saying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, if he's made those things to us, they weren't made yesterday. They weren't made back when. And as that this part here, my other Bible, this I'm using a Bible that pages are still stuck on some of them. I almost can't read some of this because they're underlined so much, and they're really important thoughts and critical thoughts to us, that it was done before the foundation of the world, and that it was fully done, and in time he did have to go die as the Lamb of God, and that blood had to be spilt for the redemption of his people, and in the time it was done. In before time, it was seen as done. It was considered as done in God's mind, in God's acting and doing. In 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6. And the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians is used a lot for pointing out people's problems. Excuse me. And indeed, the Corinthians had problems, but they were common, as we see in Ezra, and we see in Zechariah, we see in Luke, wherever. The problems it speaks of are common problems that man has, and that man is because of his nature. But Paul, in several instances, it talks about things that shouldn't be or things that are not a good thing, but he points them to Christ as the touchstone, as the where to go to look to this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about things having to do with issues against each other or whatever, different problems they have in the life. And then it says, verse 11. After there, quite a list of things that are no-nos to do, and that they may have been guilty of. But it says here, in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And here, sanctified or set apart or imparted righteousness and that justification by him and through him. And it's not saying, as he says another place, we don't use this for a reason to go out and do what we want to do because we're special, but we're not to do those things, and God will reveal those things that need to be taken care of and work in us in our body best. I mean, as Paul said, never going to get there. We have problems, and it's not each day a step closer to being fully sanctified. We are that in him. But as it says here, we have this, and it says such were some of you, and I think probably I didn't go word by word and look, but it could have been just probably could have been written down, and such were you. Probably could have left the sum out, But anyhow, you're just sanctified. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're set aside again in Him, and those other things are not. Those other things are not what God sees when He sees us. He sees His Son, and then we're not going to go to it, but in Norman's been in Zechariah. Chapter 3 talks about the high priest with the filthy garments, and Satan was accusing him before God, and God put Satan in his place and told him, he reviled him, and Satan had no more to say. And it says in verse, chapter 3, verse 2, the last part of this, it said, "Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Or are redeemed as from the fire, or all of God's people are redeemed as from the fire, or as from the penalty of sin that we stand under and stood under. Ezra, it talks about those that are not forsaken, that have problems, that God is still their God. We still have those things in Christ, but we're in the flesh, and that's the problems that we see, but spiritual problems. And He's given us all blessings in heavenly places in Him, spiritual blessings, physical blessings. He gives us a lot of physical problems. We have those too, but that is not where the blind man. That's not because where those come from is not because of something we did. A lot of those things we have is because of what we are. We're of the flesh, and sin is ravages the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 2, go to the book of Hebrews, and we have a few minutes. And as this outline for a introduction grew into quite a bit, this may be continued at a later time. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be in a couple of spots in Hebrews. But in chapter 2, let's read verse 11. It says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." But here, again, to reinforce or to state again what 1 Corinthians said, that says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. And above this, it talks about Christ and the sufferings he went through, and he said, He was made like unto his brethren, those things, without sin, but it behooved him to do those things. And then it goes on here when it says, both he that sanctifieth, the Lord himself, and those that are sanctified, the church, are all one. And I believe that in there in Corinthians, where it speaks about that Christ has made unto us all wisdom and all sanctification and all redemption and all righteousness. We have in Him, we have what He has. We don't see it. We have the down payment of it, or we have the earnest money of it, but we don't have the full realization of it yet. With the flesh at least, but in spirit we do. We have all blessings and spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Him. Not part of it, and we get more later down the way. We have all that He has given us in sanctification. And in chapter 10, and really we're just going to look at a couple of spots quickly, and then in chapter 10 of Hebrews,
And you could put particular redemption by this or whatever.
Also, chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, Hebrews 10 and 14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Those that are set apart to, and those that are set apart, that are, that have had the righteousness and the holiness imparted to them, those, as it says here, he hath perfected forever. That's, if perfected forever, it says that I'm saying, that's pretty good verse to add to that. And then in chapter 13, one more thought, and we'll wrap it up for today. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And the last thing I will say on this today, in the book of Jude, Book of Jude, verse 1. It says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied." And here again it says, them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy and peace unto you. And this scratches the surface of the thought of what he has made to his people. But we thank God that all that we need for our redemption is in him, in him alone. And that's what we will stand on. And as Brother Mike the other says about this time, be free. Thank you. Square button.
Right by the one you pushed that started it, right underneath that's the one that